For the past few days, I've been going through the official journal of the Indian Patent Office and trying to search for information about software patents that have been applied for in India and actually also granted in India. But through this presentation, I'll go through some of the. The official journal of the Indian Patent Office is the earlier the Patent Office used to publish in the Gazette of India, okay? And with the 2005 amendment, that brought about the system of publishing a separate document, okay, many times a month actually, several times a month throughout the year, okay? Collecting all of these in one place. And calling it the official journal of the Patent Office. Okay, so I've been going through those and going through the web system, etc. Okay, trying to find information about software patents. Now, and these are just very preliminary findings. I haven't done an exhaustive analysis or research on this. That will happen over the next few months. A methodology one. First, how does someone go about doing this? Go to the Indian Patent website, ipindia.nic.in. Okay, now, there, from the very beginning, you have problems. One, you see that not all browsers are created equal. Microsoft Internet Explorer works best on the Patent Office website. If you get to the search part, finally, like eventually through with Firefox, then you see that all the text doesn't show up. It only shows up if you select the text, so basically text becomes hidden. And you have myriad problems, and it doesn't even work with Chrome, so don't try. Okay, SQL. Yeah, the databases are really badly sorted out. There are some really like big backend problems. So lots of searches tend to just return database errors. Okay, security certificates, very basic stuff. They've gotten security certificate on the basis of ipindia.nic.in, and the actual search forwards it not to that, but to the actual IP address itself. So the security certificate shows up as a problem and asks you to create an exception for that, or says like you're entering dangerous territory, don't do that. So you're discouraged from searching through the patents. Yes. And one other thing which I haven't written is if you spend lots of hours on the patent website, as I've done over the past few days, you would realize that every few hours it just tends to be down. Okay, it just doesn't work for 3-4 hours, then suddenly magically it reappears, and that happens throughout. Patent searches, there are two different places you can go in the website to search through patents. Okay, one of them is labeled patent search, and the other is labeled search-patents. Okay, now search-patents leads you to 18-month search and controller's decision searches, and the patent search, first option doesn't seem to work at all. It works a little bit in Internet Explorer, doesn't work at all in any of the other browsers, despite allowing for security exceptions and all. It works only with application numbers. You can't search through the abstracts, etc. Okay, so what you're pretty much limited to abstracts or applicant names, or you can't search through all of those. The search, and I've tried from different places. I tried from from my university. I've tried from like my workplace. Different places, and actually even once from a cyber cafe, it didn't work. You're pretty much limited to the 18-month search, okay, which is the 18-month which is the publication period. Okay, that they actually publish it and ask for invite oppositions, etc. Okay, now the patent journals, these are downloadable in PDF format. Okay, part text, part image, and a small PDF, which you would normally think would take around anywhere between 1 MB to 5 MB, actually ends up being anywhere between 10 MB and 50 MB. So if you download all of them, as I did, it comes to around 2.5 GB for 3 years of data, which I don't know what exactly they're using to create those PDFs. Okay, so and going through the journal hence becomes more difficult because it's not completely text searchable that way. And so and the text search on the web page doesn't work all that well. Outside resources do exist. These are in the form of media, collection of media reports, something like the Software Patents in India, Google group discussions, etc. And there's this thing called bigpatent.com. It's a website created by Bhavin Sampath of, from Columbia University. He's a professor there with funding from Ford Foundation. He basically collects this, uses this information and makes it more searchable, kind of like what Prashant has done with court cases and bare acts, etc. Now some statistics. Informally, this morning I got to know that, thanks to Venki, that around 300 patents have actually been granted. And this is information from the patent office itself. Software, 300 patents related to software. I guess I should be a bit careful. Now, total applied for, if you do an abstract search, so searching through the abstracts for words like software, you come across 895 bits, and in the title itself, 233. So these are applications, these aren't those which are granted. Okay, if you don't have complete information about those which are granted, you still don't have the full patent information, such as the claims, etc., online. We are told by Sri Anand Prasad during his various meetings that he said that's being done, and by next year all information related to patents should be up, searchable, etc. Now, so actually distinguishing into that what has been applied for, that which has been rejected by the patent office, so trying to test the patent office. Okay, and its methodology becomes difficult because that kind of information is not easily available online. Now, just searching for applicant Microsoft turns up 1,012 patents, including a novel method for chromatographic fingerprinting and standardization of single medicines and formulation. I have no clue why they would be applying for patents in that.
So, granted or applied?
Applied. Now, I believe it was. It's just application number, so I don't. Information as to whether it's granted or not, I didn't have access to. Because it hasn't applied only for software patents. That's why I searched for. As in, this doesn't seem to be related to software, right? So, they've been.
Might be business method patents.
But all kinds of different patents, right?
So, again, these numbers from those PDF documents?
No, these numbers are from the Internet Explorer search of through the 18-month, which contains information from some applications made in 2002 when the publication was delayed, and it contains some older information also, more than like actual 18 months, but this is from that search, okay. Some points, remember, abstracts are what generally you file your oppositions on the basis of, pre-grant oppositions on the basis of. You don't have complete information in front of you. So abstracts need to be more descriptive as I'll go on to show you. These abstracts you can read in any which way. Okay, you're not really clear what they're trying to patent. So subject matter, what are they trying to patent? Is not too clear by going through these abstracts.
The published material on the website is only the abstracts, not the full text of the patent application.
No, that would come after the patent is granted, so, and that hasn't been put up yet. Now, prior
are the granted patents, or they're
not separate. No, as in I didn't find any way to see what are the granted patents. So
they're not available online yet, but you can.
Are people supposed to oppose based on the abstract?
No, you have to apply, get the pay the money, get the copy, and then.
Clarification, qualification actually. All that I'm talking about is not whether this information is accessible. This is about whether this information is easily accessible by a person, by a software developer, or by anyone sitting at home. Okay, these things might be accessible if you you know, run down to the place, like to the patent registry or in different, I believe in some cities it's kept in things like where the government seat is, like town hall, etc. So in different cities, it's in different places. But the thing is, this information might be accessible. It's not easily accessible, which is what we're looking at. No, because it doesn't matter if it's accessible if it's so remote that you don't get to know of it. Okay, so prior art is very important because based on the abstract, you should be able to determine whether there is any prior art that covers it. You know, if you're looking for filing of oppositions, okay, and because otherwise, going through the entire process is a long. Winded process, and you wouldn't want to undertake it unless you know you have some kind of indications that they're prior. So the abstracts should be clearer. Now, weasel words. These are particularly interesting. Now, what we are basically talking about here today are software patents. Now, these weasel words, what they often try to do is portray software as something that is not software. Okay, they try to call it a system, a method, and apparatus, and all kinds of things. Well, all that they're really describing are the software. Okay, so, and so, how are you going? Like, this is a system. How are you going to operate the system? We'll code the software code that's going to operate it. Now, that is the implicit thing in many of these applications. Now, some points, remember, I think, vigilant civil society organizations should keep reviewing such patent applications. Okay, that's the only way that, and this is a long-term thing, I think, that we have to engage with in the realm of IP in India.
Is it part of the CIS agenda?
Yes. Yes, it is now. And now, there's a FOSITA test, which is persons highly skilled in the arts, okay? And now, even without applying that, that is generally the test which you apply for is something obvious, okay? You see, it's a FOSITA test. If a person who's like, you know, highly skilled in the arts thinks it's obvious, then it's obvious. You don't apply the layman standard. It's not, you know, a layman shouldn't find it. Now, if you notice, that's a higher test. So a person who's well-versed in that science, in that art, okay, should not find it obvious. So normally, you know, if you're the more knowledgeable you are, the more obvious you'd find, right? Now, when we go through these patents, you would see that many of them are obvious even to laymen, not just to persons highly skilled in the art. Now here comes the really boring part of the presentation. We'll actually be going through a few of the now just cut me short whenever it gets really boring. Please do let me know. Okay, I'll try to wrap it up. A surprisingly large number of the, you know, the top results happen to be Microsoft. Configuration of user interfaces in an implementation method introducing includes receiving a query from a device. Okay, now what kind of device they're talking about is not too clear. The query is for a user interface, okay, from a client. A processing of the request determines whether the execution by the client of the control function is permitted. The processing is performed at a head end by using client state data. So client state data would be something like a cookie.
The head end would be the server.
Sorry?
The head end would be the server.
Yeah. And using client state data, the hardware and or software capabilities of the device to execute the UI are detected, and the UI is configured based on the hardware and or software capabilities of the device. So this basically says, now I'm assuming like there are quite a few techniques here, right? So something like CSS, okay? It looks at what browser you have, it looks at, you know, what preferences you have, etc.
In computer science, metaphor, this is called adaptive user.
Adaptive user interfaces. We have a word, we have a term in computer science for exactly this. And this has been, this is in 2004, this was applied for. Okay? So, update distribution system architecture and method for distributing software. This patent basically talks of hierarchical. Okay, I think that's the crucial part in it. It's not just an update of hierarchical. Your big distribution system includes a root update service node and at least one update service node. An update distribution system, each update service node, except the root service node, update service node, has one parent update service node. Each update service node may function as a parent update service node to child update service nodes. Okay, so this, like, you know, from what I understand, it seems to talk about the Microsoft update, Windows update function. Yeah, exactly. In the form, like Debian and other and actually other flavors of Linux also, GNU Linux, do this through applications like apt-get and yum, etc. Right?
The joke is on the patent office.
I'm not really sure. It's a farce, but I'm not sure who the leading actors are really. You know, whether it's the applicants, Microsoft, or whether it's the patent office that.
The joke is in the patent office, they accept the patent.
So we
don't know that.
It's not yet
the application
they brought. Yeah,
they've not accepted. So, I'm not really... It's indicative of what they're willing to apply for.
So...
But time is passed because it is in 2006. 18 months is passed.
Yeah.
So 2006 means that
it's
already
accepted.
It's
accepted.
Granted. Not necessarily, as in the patent office. That's just for opposition. So patent office has the inherent power to reject it, right? Okay. So...
But also, this pre-grant
opportunity
period,
or
until it is
accepted,
we can still check
challenges.
There's
3 months after publication, 3
pre-grant
operations, then
we have.
But
18 months
period runs from the beginning.
Okay.
Okay.
Do people want to make a point to the audience? Then I'll pass the mic.
Hey, CIS allowed to ridicule Microsoft?
Hey, I'm using.
It's not our intention. We're discussing.
Not just here.
Does anybody want to make a general point to the on the phone?
If it is printed in 2000, it's published in 2006. Until what time is the pre-grant published?
I think Prashant will answer that.
The period for 3 months is. The period for the pre-grant opposition is 3 months from the date of application. So after application, you get 3 months, during which, if you're interested, you look at the abstract, and then you file your obtain the document. By the way, this is all secret. You don't know the exact contents, which are kept secret.
What is the 18-month period?
18-month is a general publication and verification procedure.
18 months to patent gets published.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. For 18 months.
Does it have to? Does it say that in 18 months it will get published, regardless of whatever?
No, does it have to compulsorily be granted if there's
no.
It's published for public.
There's no compulsion on granting of patent ever, right? Because there are two things. One, you ask the public, okay, you open it out. If they have a problem with it, then they tell you. But the patent examiner himself or herself can point out problems with the patent application. So that is not affected by this publication at all. So.
Then one more question. After grant, what are the remedies? What are the remedies available for overturning the patent?
Post-grant, but the number of the. See,
yes,
before pre-grant opposition can be. So. A pre-grant opposition can be filed by any person. Okay, it doesn't have to be it can be any one of us. Even if I'm not interested in software patents, I can start when they wake up to the fact of software patents and file it. Post-grant oppositions can only be filed by persons interested. And persons interested has been defined to mean people who are engaged in research of some sort on these areas. Okay.
So what is that?
I can't imagine.
Can any Debian user
opposed now?
Is he engaged in research or not?
Debian is this thing, right?
It's possible. I don't know. See, all of us software. Obviously, most of us who do any writing. Okay, software. I don't know how much of high level software research goes on in India, but it's also possible to construe all of us who write code as researchers in software, because there is a lot of this thing. So if you take that as an angle, yes. But the thing is, what it will preclude is NGOs like ALS, who don't produce any software. Okay. Well, not any software that's worth anything. But we will be precluded from. I mean, the court will first ask us. Whereas with pre-grant opposition, I can just file. I don't have to prove why am I interested. And the fact that I'm interested at all. Okay.
So
That's the difference.
Users of the
plain users without
Actually have to be writing code or doing researching or doing something with the siblings.
That is relevant to it. I mean, even if you're a coder, suppose the technology that you're challenging is something in Java and you are a Visual Basic programmer, you might not be able to.
Public interest is not good enough.
No, that's okay.
No, but open source brings a good
public
perspective.
Public interest is not the criteria.
Open source brings a good perspective. Users are developers also.
Yeah, but I mean, of course, you don't have the problem of patents.
Next patent. This one's quite interesting. Secure Dimensions Limited. Method for preventing software reverse engineering, unauthorized modification, and runtime data interception. Method for preventing all of those things. According to this method, a converter which is capable of converting the software into a generalized machine code is provided. This is not Microsoft.
This is
not
Microsoft.
No.
So it's interesting.
Even more so. Now, you know, even someone non-technical like me understands that a converter, you know, its purpose is converting the software into generalized machine code. Like it's a very specific kind of converter that they're talking about. I guess I don't really know. The converter is designed such that it cannot be reverse engineered by using a conversion process that causes data loss. An interpreter which the knowledge of its process method is kept restricted. It's also provided. The interpreter interprets the general machine code into a specific machine code while reconstructing the lost data during the interpretation process. Now, this basically says that you lose some data in the conversion process, and the interpreter is instead provided with that data. Okay, so it knows how to interpret it with the lost data, so it accounts for that lost data. Now, I don't know. One, isn't this rather obvious? Like,
I think all programming languages know that. I think.
No, this is slightly not obvious. I don't know what the guy actually wants to do. It may actually be some piece, an embodied piece of physical hardware.
No, what I seem to understand from this is that this is a kind of cryptographic function. Basically, what you're doing in this is that you're ensuring that from the end data, you can't go back to the initial data. Okay. Yeah, it's like hashing or hashing is one particular kind of, but
synchronous.
Yeah. So
I think what this illustrates, what this actually illustrates is that the abstract is kind of very obfuscating.
I'm saying so. This idea, okay, in this fashion exists already in known to cryptography. Okay, so it's not a new idea by any stretch.
Cryptography cannot lose information. Yeah, that you can interpret the abstract in usual space. So it's like it's not something that one can go on. That is like if you want to put in a pre-grant proposition based on this abstract.
Now those are the many different kinds of problems with each of these abstracts. One that and this this is talking of a method. Okay, but what it's actually patenting, as far as I can see, are the two software elements of it. Okay, now one thing we have to look at, okay, which I believe is an important thing that was raised.
Manish, in the application, I think they're required to say either method or process or apparatus. That's why they.
Yeah, no, you're required to say that. I'm saying what this reduces to are the two software elements. Now, what I'd like to go back to the morning sessions. Okay, when you're looking at a patent, okay, an application, we have to look at whether the software component of it, okay, is just something that now if there's software in the US as you know various places it's been interpreted, if there's software in it, that in and of itself cannot be a ground for rejecting it. Okay, now you have to look at whether software is the subject matter of that patent. Okay. So, how crucial is the software element to the entire patent, I believe is a very important question, and looking at actual abstracts like this and trying to sift through the what is the method part of it, what is the software part of it, what are the additional things, is it only software that is actually trying to couch in all the, in this language, or I think you'll have to look, keep that in mind as well. Okay, I'll just try to wrap up quickly, and then we'll take questions on this. If anyone has more technical knowledge on any of these patents, please just shout out. But questions, I think we'll take after that. Is that fine?
Just for this example, right? Because you're going next. First thing Nagarjuna said was it's a DRM, no? It's not a software.
No, now the question is, how do you implement DRM without software? Can you implement DRM without software? Is a general question I'm asking the house.
No.
I don't think it's possible. Okay. Yeah. So I think that question, can it be done in any way? Does software is it like an additional part of it, or is software the crucial element in it? Okay. I think that question has to be answered for each of these patents. Okay. And I think if we are actually to go forward with this in some fashion, then we have to consider this test, because here we are still in the subject matter area. We've not gotten into the technical effects, etc., where other jurisdictions they have. Okay, since we are still in subject matter, since software per se is still excluded as subject matter, I think that we have to attack it at that level itself. Okay, and look into what kinds of tests can you develop to see whether we can answer the question of software per se without looking into all these extra questions of technical effects, etc. Quickly going through now. Please remember that 2K also prohibits algorithms. Okay, apart from software per se, and comma and algorithms. So, methods and system for limiting software updates. Microsoft. Now, this is basically the genuine check thing that Microsoft does. Okay. Now, what? How does the software work? It basically asks you to download a piece of software, piece of code onto your computer. It runs it, okay, through a cryptographic hashing. It sees whether it's genuine or not, okay. And then if it's genuine, it allows it. So that's the integrity check. Sorry, I copied directly from the websites, hence the misspellings. Integrity check and it denies the request for software update if the client software is found to be illegitimate. Okay, now I'm like, you know, from a very layman perspective. Okay, I don't think this is terribly that this passes inventive step test at all. And lots of patents that have been applied for are also for things that are already exist. Okay, and are being applied for in a sense to prevent other companies, possibly as patent holder, to prevent other companies from getting those patents. So for supporting multiple trust zones in digital rights management system. Okay. Now this basically says. Now I'm just summarizing completely. Okay. That some people will be able to access your music, some people won't be able to access your music, etc. Within a DRM system. Now, I thought that was the entire purpose of DRM. And I don't. Now, this is something that already exists. Okay? Scalable print spooler. Okay? Now, this is pure software that is describing.
And DRM is not allowed as per Indian copyright law.
Yeah, Indian copyright law doesn't. As in the amendment, like as Prashant pointed out earlier today.
No, the amendment. There's nothing about permitting or prohibiting.
Yeah, it doesn't.
There's a proposed amendment which says that unlocking a DRM is illegal, but that's not passed into law. So
they can still implement DRM.
Actually, I'm skipping this one. File locker and mechanisms for providing and using the same. First, I didn't even think this was anything related to Microsoft, but when you go through it. Uses the protected environment sealing functionality to seal data items. These are all just pure software implementations. They don't seem to be anything else. And even worse, they don't seem to have any kind of inventive step which is necessary for a patent. Method and system for code coverage, this is pure software. this I've already talked about, sir. So I'm pretty much wrapping up here. This is a very preliminary kind of study, okay? But it shows a few things, okay? If we go back to this slide, it shows a few things. One, abstracts are very unclear, okay? Having lawyers in this room, having, you know, software coders in this room, out of lots of these things, we still aren't able to make sense, okay? Now, why is that very important? Why is not making sense important? Because those are the grounds on which you're actually filing objections. Now, what all do we have to be wary of weasel words which try to make it seem as though they are not software, but are actually only describing what the software will perform, what the software will do. And what do we have to do, like, you know, as civil society and civil society organizations, we have to keep reviewing these. Now, that's pretty much it.
I don't think we should subject Pranesh to any further questions.
Thank you.
He's just managed to get his final exam, and this is some research that he's managed to put together in the last...
Taxation law.
and he's managed to put this together with the help of some volunteers from National Law School. Hopefully in the next 3 months or 6 months we will come out with a much more rigorous study and look at a set of patents much more closely. And at that point you can subject Pranesh to all the questions. We will of course publish all this on a public mailing list so that we can share
with the audience. That we have a complete list of patents we had examined about a year back with sort of spreadsheet form. It is searchable, and that we are, it's already there in the patent group.
Yes,
so you're most welcome to use it, whoever wants to use it.
Okay, this patent group, by the way, for those who don't know, is a Google group. It's at groups.google.com/group/software-patents-in-India/
Okay. Now.